I'm delighted to say that we've got Lucy Swift here this morning. Good morning to you, Lucy.
Good morning. Oh, great to be here.
It is lovely to see you because you're a regular contributor to our program.
I am becoming so, yeah.
And yes, and we're loving it because you bring all your knowledge and understanding. Now, tell us a little bit more. You're from the National Garden Scheme. So tell us a little bit more about what that is and how you're involved in it.
Okay, so the National Garden Scheme. I'm just going to get a quick website, ngs.org.uk, and we open over 3,500 exceptional gardens across England and Wales, mainly private gardens, but also lots of allotments and community gardens too. And we raise large amounts of money for nursing and health charities. So your listeners will have heard of Macmillan Cancer, Marie Curie, Hospice UK, Queen's Nursing Institute. And we do all of this through admissions, so paying on the gate, or you can book online as well. Very important to say that. And we also sell tea and coffee, and we're famous for our extremely delicious cake.
Oh, yes.
You
said 3,500.
Yes.
Gardens.
Yes.
That's
yes.
a huge number.
It is a huge, huge number. Yeah. And a huge amount of hard work goes into that.
That's fantastic, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is. It is amazing. And we, last year nationally, we raised huge amounts of money. So we raised over £3.5 million.
Wow. That's incredible.
Here in Hearts, we hit 155,000. So that was a new record for us. And we have, in Hertfordshire, we have around 50 gardens that open throughout the spring and summer. So, yes, I'm going to check the website again. Wherever you are, do check it out, ngs.org.
ngs.org. Now then, yeah. Obviously, I guess this is the time of year when we might be more likely to see some of these gardens because gardens are doing all their lovely stuff at the moment. So is it now when there'll be, in the next few weeks, there'll be a lot more gardens open?
Yes. May and June, we really ramp up. Lots going on, lots to see. I can tell you
hear. Should our I listeners are ready. They've got pens and papers in their hands. Let's hear where you can go and find a National Garden Scheme garden.
Okay, so here we go. And there are lots. And I'm going to feel very guilty if I don't mention all of them. But I'm going to try.
Go on.
Okay, so starting with Rustling End Cottage, one of my personal favourites, open on the evenings of 16th and 17th of May. So, a glass of wine on offer at this one.
Oh.
And a garden managed very much for wildlife. Two of my favourite things. So what's not to love about that? Also, on 17th and 18th of May, the Manor House Ayot St Lawrence. An extraordinarily exuberant garden designed by top garden designer Julie Toll. Fantastic teas and some produce for sale. I think I remember buying some chutney or some honey there one time. And then on Saturday, the 24th of May, Terrace House Garden is open in Bengio, Hertford. If you want to know how to create a beautiful garden on a slope, can be quite difficult, this is an absolute must. So go and see that. And then on Sunday, the 25th of May, we have no less than 5 gardens open, Paul. All very different, all stunning. So I'm going to refer everybody to the website, ngs.org.uk. But they are Bennington Lordship, 42 Falconer Road, 15 Gade Valley Cottages, and then there's Morning Light and The Pines. So go to our website and go and check them out now. And then we've got 43 Mardley Hill open on Monday the 26th, a garden with a big personality, beautiful, quirky, fabulous hens there as well. And then finally, on Friday the 30th and Saturday the 31st of May, 16 Langley Crescent, just around the corner from me, actually. A compact walled garden, packed full of interest, with a lovely sort of gentle atmosphere and a brilliant greenhouse. So that's all of our May gardens. Although I would just like to give a shout out to Patchwork Garden over in Berkhamsted because they were open yesterday. So we've just missed them. But they are open again, I think, on August the 17th. So do check them out too.
Lucy, when people do this, you know, why do they do it? Because surely it's hard enough keeping your garden straight. So these people are why on earth would they then go through the, what I'm only concerned about, for me, be the absolute fear of opening my own garden and having people wander around it? Why do they do it?
Well, I think there are lots of different reasons. Some of our gardens are very, very experienced. They've been doing it for many, many years and have got to that point where they sort of think, you know, my friends and family love this garden. I think other people would love this too. And so they have a certain amount of confidence about opening. There are some people who do it for reasons of health. So I think, for instance, we're going to talk a little bit about our charities later on. But I do know there's a lovely story, somebody called Stacey McGovern, who's opening her garden for the first time this year. She had a cancer diagnosis a few years ago, and she found that when she was going through her treatment and also during her recovery, when she got the all clear, being out in the garden was just incredibly healing and helped her enormously. So there are all sorts of reasons, I think, Paul, for people opening their gardens.
Well, they're very good reasons, and in the best possible way, very worthy reasons as well. Lucy, tell us a little bit about some of the, we've talked about all the effort going into preparing the garden and therefore raising the money. So what are some of the things that the NGS does with the money?
Well, we're very excited. I'm just going to say, Paul, to be in the middle of our Gardens and Health Week.
Oh, right.
Okay. So celebrating the power of green medicine, if you like, and the power of gardens to do us good, both physically and mentally. And we've just published our little yellow book of gardens and health, which you can check out on our website. And it features loads of brilliant articles from health professionals alongside amazing stories from people where gardens and gardening have made a real difference to their health and their well-being. I mentioned patchwork. Two nonagenarian gardeners garden that. They're featured in our little yellow book. And also Stacey McGovern, who I mentioned before, she's also featured in there. Mm-hmm. And it's important to say that we fund many garden projects in healthcare settings and community gardens too. So I'd just like to talk to you a little bit about a couple of the charities that we fund that people may not have heard of necessarily. So one of these is Horatio's Garden. Since 2015, we've donated about £670,000 to them. And this is a charity that has beautiful, accessible gardens in NHS regional spinal injury centres. And there are 11 of these centres across the country with gardens all created by some of the UK's top garden designers. You can find details on our website about this, and you can also visit horatiosgarden.org.uk, and there's some truly inspirational stories on there. And I'd just like to tell a little story. We had we recently had a garden owners party, and we do this every year, and we invite garden owners along. And this year we invited CEO of Horatio's Garden, Katie Tate. And she told an incredibly moving story about a young woman very seriously injured on holiday. Now, spinal injuries are very traumatic, life-changing. They take a long, long time to recover from. And this young woman described how she was struggling to have hope to even really think about what the future might hold for her. But it was in the garden, this garden that we helped to fund, that she found that hope, and it was just a small shift, but it was in that environment that she could sort of begin to imagine or even, you know, consider the possibility of a future. And one of the things that Katie said was that she invited her family to come and meet her for the first time after this dreadful injury in the garden, because she felt that she could cope better with that, and that they would also cope better too. So it was an incredibly moving story, and I know that Horatio's Garden are planning to do more and more detailed and monitored research into the effect of gardens on recovery,
okay,
which I think is fascinating, and they want to feed this research into all areas of healthcare, and particularly the NHS. And I think that's what connects us the National Garden Scheme and charities like Horatio's Garden, because we really understand the potential of gardens as healing spaces. We also fund Maggie's. I don't know if you've heard of Maggie's centres. These are beautifully designed centres across the country offering people with cancer emotional, practical and social support for free. And again, the gardens in these centres are sort of much needed, tranquil, healing spaces for people to use. So those are two charities that people might not be so aware of, but incredibly important, and gardens very much at the core of what they do.
And I think that's what's rather nice about this, that, you know, there's the work that people do to open their gardens, there's the money that's raised, and then it's actually almost like a sort of a circular economy for these charities.
Yes, I think that's
charities.
A very good way of putting it.
And I think that's really lovely, because then, you know, this is, when you go and visit one of the NGS gardens, you are actually visiting a garden, and it's all about gardens, and you're actually going to help other gardens as well. So that's really, really lovely,
right,
I think.
Have I got time, Paul, to mention something else? Something very local.
We've always got time for you to mention these things, Lucy.
Because we found out recently, again at this garden owners party, that the Surge Hill project, right here in Hertfordshire, just up the road actually, has been awarded a community grant by the National Garden Scheme. Founded by Sue and Tom Stewart-Smith in 2021, and it offers resources to local schools, youth organisations, mental health charities, community groups. Sue's a psychiatrist and psychotherapist and author, and Tom is an internationally renowned landscape architect. So you can see how their skill sets have come together in this project. So you can visit the website surgehillproject.co.uk to find out more. And they will be opening for the NGS as part of three Surge Hill Gardens on the 1st of June. So do save that date. It's an amazing place. Well worth a visit.
You see, I know it's a bit like sitting in the mastermind chair now. Here I am. I'm going to now fire at you all sorts of questions. Solve my garden problems, if you will. Now, the first thing is I'm a great worrier for my garden. And I can see that it's cold today. In fact, it's only, 12 or 13 degrees today. Yet it was, 23 the other day. What about my plants? I'm worried about my plants. What should I be doing?
Yeah, well, I think first of all, Paul, I'm going to say stop worrying.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's all part of the, it's all part of the gardening game.
Okay.
It's all a big experiment.
I've never seen it as a game, Lucy. It's a battle.
It is a battle. It can be a battle. But I think, I do think that's important, though. I think it's important to, our gardens should be relaxing spaces.
Right.
And I think if we can let go a little bit more, we can just relax.
I'm liking this. Let go means less work, surely.
Yes, it does. Well, it can do. There's always going to be a lot of hard work involved in gardening. But I think if you can just sort of let go a little bit, relax a little bit, sort of go with the flow. I think that's great gardening advice, and it's something that people I've worked with have very much encouraged me to sort of feel.
Okay, so this time of year, because I mean, it does seem to be an awful lot going on at this time of year. Should I be doing? What should I be doing?
Well,
I've been doing
a lot of weeding. Although I think one of the ways in which you can mitigate against that is actually to just plant quite densely. So because that will shade out weeds. Your plants will crowd out the weeds. You won't get quite as many of them. So that's always a good tip. But yes, you do need to weed. You do need to do some weeding. Going back to your question about these sort of real changes in temperature, just look out for things that have been a little bit frost-nipped. You may need to perhaps put a little bit of protection in place. Things I'm thinking about doing in my garden, tie in your twining climbers. I've got clematis at the moment, going off, absolutely on their own accord, climbing across other plants, and I just need to get them going upright again. So clematis, honeysuckle, they just put on so much growth at this time of year, and you just need to keep up with them a bit. So I need to do that in my own garden. I think if you've planted trees and shrubs, over the winter. Just keep a close eye on them, particularly because we've had this very dry spell. I mean, you know, really you should have been watering, giving them some water through that, even at this, you know, quite early stage of the year. And they'll be particularly vulnerable in the first year. So keep them watered. Always good to install a water butt. Use rainwater where you can. Have you heard of the Chelsea chop?
The Paul? Chelsea chop? What on earth is the Chelsea? Yeah. Is that what you get from the butchers?
What's the Chelsea chop? So this is something that gardeners do around the time of the Chelsea Garden show. And it's a pruning technique, which is quite a fancy term, given that it's called the Chelsea chop. But it's designed to stop certain herbaceous perennials becoming a bit too leggy. It can keep them bushier, shorter, means they don't need staking necessarily. It can delay flowering. If you want to be a little bit more careful about it, then if you've got several clumps of the same thing, you can Chelsea chop some of them and not others. And so you have flowering happening over a sort of longer period.
Can I ask for a little more precision on the Chelsea chop? So what exactly are we talking about?
You can go down by about a third.
Okay.
You can try it on things like Achillea.
Right.
Phlox paniculata, heleniums, asters. Some people chop sedums. I don't know, I'm not so keen on doing that, but they can get very floppy. So yes, I think Chelsea chopping is, you know, well, why not try it out?
We've got a new term here on Mixed Morning. It's the Chelsea chop, and Lucy, you've introduced that, which I think is really great, and I think I should be thinking about Chelsea chopping this afternoon in my garden. That's amazing.
We could leave it for a couple of weeks.
Okay. Yeah. I've still got two. Oh, well, I suppose Chelsea's not quite...
Okay. You don't have to be so precise. But yeah, it's a good rule of thumb around the Chelsea flower show.
Well, Lucy, look, I'm so grateful for you coming in, because not only do we get to hear about the National Garden Scheme, but also we get a few bits of advice as well, which really can't be bad. So thank you so much for joining us this morning. One last shout out for that website.
Yes, it's ngs.org.uk. Can I do some social media as well? Because we are all over social media.
Okay. So you're all over your socials.
We are. Facebook, Twitter, X, Instagram, we're on all of those. And we've also got our Find a Garden app, Paul, which you can download.
Fantastic.
So do that as well.
In other words, so if you've got the app, then you could find one of those NGS gardens and tell
you
when they're
open. Wherever you are in the country.
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, this is fantastic. Yeah. So, Lucy, thank you so much for joining us, bringing us all your knowledge and understanding of what NGS is all about, but also about our gardens as well. What more could you want? Thank you, Lucy.
Thanks, Paul.